I want to turn your attention to the book of 1 Chronicles chapter number 11. 1 Chronicles chapter number 11. Praise the Lord. While you're turning there, let me remind you that we do have church cards now. And there are some back there on the back. If you are already out or you have not gotten any, there is plenty back there on the back so that you can refill or fill up your pockets. We've got them here, and I've got them in the office as well. And so we want to be passing these out and giving them to people, letting people know how good God is, being a witness. Praise the Lord. Amen. 1 Chronicles chapter number 11. Amen. It's also good to have Mariah here today. We're so happy that she's here. This is her second time to be with us. And we just want her to feel welcome today as well. Praise God. 1 Chronicles chapter number 11, and let's begin reading at verse number 10. And the Bible said, "These also are the chief of the mighty men whom David had, who strengthened themselves with him in his kingdom and with all of Israel to make him king, according to the word of the Lord concerning Israel." And this is the number of the mighty men whom David had, Jashobeam and Hachmonite, the chief of the captains, and he lifted up his spear against 300 slain by him at one time. I'm telling you, Chuck Norris ain't got nothing on these guys here. Hallelujah. This man here lifted up his spear against 300 by himself at one time. And after him was Eleazar, the son of Dodo, the Jehoahite, who was one of the three mighties, and he was with David at Pasdammon, and there the Philistines were gathered together to battle, where was a parcel of ground full of barley. And the people fled from before the Philistines, and they set themselves in the midst of that parcel and delivered it, and slew the Philistines, and the Lord saved them by a great deliverance. Praise God. Amen. I want to just simply preach to you for a few minutes of time tonight here today. Amen. How you got it is how you're going to keep it. Amen. How you got it is how you will keep it. Let's ask the Lord to help us here today. Heavenly Father, we love you. God, we worship. Hallelujah. God, we magnify you, we exalt you, we praise you, we glorify you. And there is none that is like you. We bless your name, we exalt you, and we give you glory today. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, praise God. God bless you, and you may be seated tonight. Amen. We have to go all the way back to the book of Exodus chapter number 3, and it is in that same chapter that the Lord told Moses that he had seen the affliction of the children of Israel, of his people that were there in the land of Egypt, and that he was going to use Moses to bring them out of that land into a land that flowed with milk and honey. This is the first time that we read of it. But the Lord spoke concerning that he had something better for his children. He had something better for the people and the Israelites. In Leviticus chapter number 20, he said, "You shall inherit their land, the Canaanites' land." And he said, "And I will give it unto you to possess it, a land that floweth with milk and honey." Numbers chapter number 34 and verse number 2, he said, "When you come into the land of Canaan, for this is the land that shall fall unto you for an inheritance, even the land of Canaan with the coast thereof." And so he begins to speak concerning this land that he is going to bring his children into as an inherited land, as the inheritance he was going to give that unto them for their inheritance. And in the process of time, we know that the children of Israel crossed over the Jordan River after wandering around in the wilderness for 40 years, and they went into Canaan's land, but this did not necessarily mean that the land was immediately theirs and that the inhabitants of the land would soon be moving out. But we begin to read that it is after this that battles are waged, victories are gained, spoils are taken. But there are still lands that are yet to be conquered. And so we get into the book of Judges, or let's first stop in Joshua chapter number 13. And in Joshua chapter number 13, we hear the Lord when the tribe of Reuben and the tribe of Gad and Manasseh was spelt out there as they went before Moses, and they said, "We would like to have our inheritance on this side of Jordan." And the Lord spoke unto Moses, and he told them, he said, "That'll be fine if you want your inheritance on that side of Jordan." And he said it like this in Numbers 32. He said, "But if you will not do so," "if you will not do so, behold, you have sinned against the Lord, and your sins will find you out." When he told them, he said, "Now, if you stay here," he said, "that'll be fine. But when the rest of them go across the Jordan River, then I expect you to fight with them. I expect you to battle with them for the inheritance. If this is where you want to stay, then that's fine. But understand that when the wage and the battles begin to be waged on the other side, then I expect you to be over there in that battle." And he said, "And if you don't, then you have sinned. And be sure that your sin will find you out." I want to stop and interject that we could go over into the book of Galatians chapter number 6, and we could talk about those that be overtaken with the fault, that that we whom are spiritual, that we should restore such a one, that we should help them. And God takes it very, very seriously when our brothers and our sisters are in a battle for their salvation. Amen. And I wish that I could say that when you receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost, that everything is just perfectly fine and you don't have to worry about anything whatsoever at all. But the fact of the matter is that the enemy of your soul, it is at that point in time that he begins to fight you. He's not going to fight you when you're sitting on a bar stool because he's already got you. He's not going to fight you when you've got needles and being injected into your arm and such because he's already got you. He's not going to fight you when you're drinking on that brown bottle or the whiskey of such a nature and stuff. He's not going to fight you then because he's already got you. But when you begin to walk with God, then you are in direct opposition of him, and he does not want you to make it. And so you're going to have to fight. It is a continual battle. If you're going to live for God successfully, you cannot sit down on the side and just hope that everything turns out fine. Amen. Praise God. You're going to have to be faithful. You're going to have to pray. You're going to have to be involved in worship. You're going to have to read your Bible. There's a lot that you're going to have to do if you plan on making heaven your home. Amen. But to those that are struggling and that are fighting, to amen, the Lord spells it out and says that when you see such a one that is doing that, then it behooves you to pray for them, to encourage them, to go and to lift them up, to do whatever you've got to do to help them to fight to win the battle that they are in. And he said, if you are unwilling to fight with your brethren in such a case, if you are unwilling to fight for your brethren, amen, for such a case, then God calls it sin. And he said, be sure that your sin will find you out. Praise God. Joshua chapter number 14, the land that was to be divided by lot was spelt out and distributed for inheritance to them by their lot was their inheritance in verse number 1 and 2. And that was fine for everybody besides Caleb, who was of the tribe of Judah. And he had already said back when the spies came back, he had spoken and he told them, he said, we are more than able to go and to possess the land that God has given unto us. It was a moment of faith because Caleb and Joshua both acknowledged that the land that they were going into was inhabited by giants, and that they themselves were as grasshoppers in their sight, and the task seemed daunting, and the task seemed as if it was unobtainable to 10 of them. But 2 of them said, we can do this. And they saw the exact same things that the other 10 saw, experienced the exact same things that the other 10 experienced. Amen. Heard, felt the exact same, tasted the exact same things, amen, that the other 10 experienced. But two were willing to walk by faith and not by sight. Amen. 10 were saying, what we see is that we cannot do it. And two were saying, it doesn't matter what we see. If God be for us, then who can be against us? I think it is important that as a church we recognize this and adopt this slogan as part of us and ours, because there is, amen, a daunting task that is set before us, and there is an enemy that is going to do his best, amen, to defy apostolic revival. Amen. He is going to do his best to try to stop revival from coming to pass in this church. He is going to do his best to try, amen, to divide and to conquer amongst us, to get us at odds one with another. Amen. But united we stand, and divided we fall. Amen. We cannot be ignorant of Satan's devices. We've got to realize, amen, when he is coming in, and when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall raise up a standard against it. And so when the enemy comes and begins to whisper little sweet nothings in your ear, you need to turn him off. Amen. You don't need him sitting around your supper table. You don't need him sitting around, amen, your break table at the job. You don't need him, amen, doing all of these things. Amen. You need to be understanding and cognizant of it, and stand against the wiles of the devil, as Paul said. And having done all to stand, therefore, amen. Some of us just need to stand up. You need to get tired of what the enemy is doing to you. Stand and be tired of what the enemy is doing to your family. Stand and get tired of what the enemy, amen, has been doing in your household. Having done all to stand, it's time for somebody to stand. It's time for somebody to take authority and power over the spirits of hell. Amen. Jesus said, amen, that I will give you power over all the power of the enemy. You've got power over Satan. You've got power over his abilities. You just gotta stand up. You gotta stand in defiance and stand and see the salvation of the Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen, amen. Be seated. In Joshua chapter number 15 and verse number 20, God told Judah what would be his inheritance, and that he would obtain his inheritance by fighting. And he said, this is the inheritance of the tribe of the children of Judah according to their families. In verse number 35, he mentioned four different cities there. One was Jarmuth, another Adullam. The third one was Soko, and the fourth one was Azekah. Amen. And it was throughout the remainder of Joshua, boundaries of the inherited lands per the tribe are spelt out and determined. And then when we come into Judges chapter number 1 and verses 1 and 2, now after the death of Joshua, it came to pass that the children of Israel asked the Lord, saying, who shall go up against the Canaanites first to fight against them? And the Lord said, Judah shall go up. And behold, I have delivered the land into his hands. I think it is imperative to understand that it is one thing for God to deliver the land, but it's another thing for us to go take the land. Amen. God can subdue our enemies. Amen. But he still has to have somebody that is willing to respond to faith, to go in there and to throw out the enemies.
Amen. I'm telling you, God can give us the city. God can give us property. God can give us a building. But at some point in time, we're going to have to step out by faith and make it happen. It's not all going to come easy. But somebody's got to stand up and somebody's got to take the first step. And somebody's got to go make it happen. You know who God said go make it happen? He told Judah, he said, I want you to be the first one. I want you to be the leader of it all. Amen. Judah was the worshipers. Amen. I said Judah was the worshipers. He said, worshipers, I want you to take the initiative. I want you to show how that it's done. Amen. I said, I want you to show how that it's done. That's what we're doing around here. We're pulling down some strongholds with our worship. We're tearing down some mighty holds and some principalities by our worship. Amen. Some people may call it foolishness. Hallelujah. But God hath ordained the foolish things to confound even those things that are wise. It may look weak to some, but God said, I'll take the weak and I'll pull down and overcome those that are strong. With God, all things are possible. Oh, magnify the Lord today. Hallelujah. I feel faith building in this house. I feel somebody getting a hold of this tonight. I feel somebody feeling like, hey, I'm the head and I'm not the tail. I feel somebody deciding, hey, I don't have to go through life like this. There is something that is greater for me. Yes, there is. God has got something better for you. God has got a way. God has got a plan. God has got a promise. Heal to everyone. Praise God. And so we see that Judah begins to fight for their inheritance. Amen. And they didn't just walk in and issue a petition asking for people to leave. And they didn't go in and issue an eviction notice and then walk out and wait for it to happen. But they went in with a vengeance. They went in with a plan. They went in with a mandate. Amen. They went in with a command from God to do this. And they fought for their inheritance. Judges chapter number 1 is an entire list of battles conquering the areas that Judah fought for. Amen. And so we will remember that Judah got Azekah by fighting for it. This was part of Judah's inheritance. And the next time that we read about Azekah is in a more familiar passage of scripture. When we go to the book of 1 Samuel chapter number 17. And now the Philistines were gathered together in their armies to do battle. And they were gathered together at Shochoh, which belonged to Judah. And was pitched between Shochoh and Azekah in Ephesdemon. Amen. You do not have to do much studying in your Bible to see that Pasdemon, which we read about in 1 Chronicles 1 and 13 in our text, and Ephesdemon in 1 Samuel 17 and 1 are one and the same. As a matter of fact, all you have to do is get your Ugner's Bible Dictionary and look it up. And it will tell you that Pasdemon and Ephesdemon are the exact same place. And so this is the area that belonged unto Judah. Amen. This is the area that God said shall be yours as your inheritance. How did they get it? They got it by fighting. The worshipers got it by fighting. But yet this was a place that the Israelites and the Philistines would fight for many times over. For numerous years they fought over this very valley and this parcel of ground. As a matter of fact, the famous battleground for David and Goliath is right here in this valley. Amen. Between Shochoh and Azekah in Ephesdemon. Amen. It was a strategical ground that was to be desired. For he that held Ephes Damon, a man was able to hold the entire countryside. It was strategic. It was very important. Amen. It was a place that God had esteemed, ordained, amen, and given unto them. I don't believe that it is so ironic that the word Ephes Damon simply means the boundary of blood. The boundary of blood. You see, the enemy of our soul would like to inhabit that land of the boundary of blood so that the church would not be partakers of the blood of Jesus Christ. You see, it was the blood of Jesus Christ that is able to set every soul free. The blood of Jesus Christ that is able to wash away every sin stain. The devil doesn't want you to experience the blood. The devil doesn't want you to be able to go back unto the blood. For you see that even as a child of God, we have an advocate, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he is the propitiation, the sacrifice for all of us. Amen. And if we walk with him in the light as he is in the light, and then we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanseth us from all sins. That's what John said. I said that's what John said in 1 John chapter 1 and verse number 7. That's what John said. You want to know how John knew that? Because he had been back to the blood many times. There were times that he may have gone weak and faltered. There may have been times that he had stumbled. But he still had a place of blood. He still had a boundary of blood that he could go back to. That he could call upon. John, amen, was a partaker of the blood. John was a partaker and a benefactor of the blood of Jesus. It's worth fighting for. It's worth fighting for. It's worth fighting for. Devil, you can't have my boundary of blood. You're not getting the blood out of my life. Amen. Devil, I'm not going that away. I refuse to back up. I refuse to sit down. I refuse to shut up. I refuse to sit back. I refuse to sit here and backside. I refuse to get bitter with my brother. I refuse to find fault with somebody else. I'm going back to the blood. I'm going back to the blood. I'm going back to the blood. For it is the blood that set me free. It's the blood that has kept me through the years. Praise God. Oh, let's give the Lord some praise here today. Hallelujah. Be seated. And so, in our text, 1 Chronicles 11, the repeated in 2 Samuel chapter number 23, Shammah is there. And we see that there are Philistines that are coming. I don't have time to dig this out or to elaborate it upon this particular time, upon this particular day. But the Philistines represent a very unique people. Not necessarily people that are on the outside, but rather people that are on the inside. For they were in Canaan's land. They dwelt there. And they were a thorn in the flesh of the Israelites from the day of Abraham all the way until the days of David, when David expelled them out of the land. They represent, amen, a spirit on the inside of the church. They represent a spirit that wants to sit beside you, that wants to make you feel comfortable with them sitting there. I'm not speaking concerning people, I'm speaking concerning spirits. Spirits that you give place to. Spirits of deception and discouragement. Spirits spirits of worldliness and enticement, spirits of bitterness, discouragement, dissension, amen, that want to sit there and cause you as a worshiper, amen, to not fulfill your duty. Spirits, amen, that make you feel like shutting down instead of standing up and shouting, amen. Spirits, amen, that want you to sit there and feel sorry for yourself, amen, while the song service is going on and everybody else is feeling the power of the Holy Ghost. But spirits, amen, that just want to subdue you and to shut down. I've come to preach against those spirits here today. I said I've come to take that ground back. You're not getting the strategic place. Worship is meant to be in the house of God. And I shall not sit down and let situations in my life dictate how much that I shall worship God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And so here is Shammah standing on this parcel of ground. And here come the Philistines running in, boasting, flexing muscles, lifting weapons in the air. And everybody cows down and everybody takes off running except for Shammah. Amen. And Shammah says it like this, if I could put it in the Cowan Amplified Translation. He says it like this: my grandpa spilled his blood upon this ground fighting for it. My dad shed blood in order to keep this particular ground. I'm not going to run. I'm not going to cow down. I'm not going to back up. My forefathers have fought for this truth. They fought for this blood. Amen. When there have been people amongst us that said that it's not necessary for a person to repent. Hogwash. We're fighting for that repentance. Those that have said baptism is just an outward expression of an inward confession. Amen. That's the lie. We're going to fight for that blood that is able to wash away the sins. Our forefathers have fought for the infilling of the Holy Ghost. Have fought for holiness within, without which no man shall see. I refuse to sit back. I refuse to back down. I refuse to let down. I'm coming out. I'll stand against one. I'll stand against 1,000. But this battle is definitely worth fighting. Hallelujah. Clap your hands to the Lord. Shammah said, we fought to get this. We're going to fight to keep it. That's why we're so demonstrative about our worship. That's why we're so emphatic about our attendance and faithfulness to the house of God. That's why we're emphatic about holiness, emphatic about infilling of the Holy Ghost, emphatic about baptism in the name of Jesus Christ being the only way, emphatic about speaking in other tongues as the Spirit give the utterance. We're emphatic about these things. And Samuel, Shammah said, we fought to get this and we're going to have to fight to keep it. And I shall fight. Caleb of the tribe of Judah had waited 45 years in order to fight for his inheritance. A long time in the making, but was definitely worth fighting for. The importance of the inheritance was extremely valid and important. Because the Lord spoke to them in the book of Numbers, chapter number 36. And he said, so shall not the inheritance of the children of Israel be removed from tribe to tribe. For every one of the children of Israel shall keep himself to the inheritance of the tribe of his fathers. And so Shammah decided to stay and to fight for what they had fought to get. Amen. But in a nutshell, what it was saying is this inheritance, God said, this inheritance that I am giving you, it's not to be traded away. It's not to be put on the bartering table for a better price. It's not to be given away. It's not to be set down. It's not to be walked away from. It is important that you keep the inheritance for yourself. Amen. God was saying, Judah, I gave you that. It was up to you to keep it. And don't come crying to me and whining and having a pity party because now the Philistines have got it and they've got the barley and they've got the field of vintels and they've got all of that when you didn't even fight for it. And what you're saying is, God, I don't think you're big enough to do it. Sharma was saying, I'm only one, but God, you're bigger than that. You can do this. Praise God. Amen. And so that's the way that they obtained their inheritance. Amen. They bound together. They went together. And they fought together to obtain the inheritance. They didn't just walk in and sit down and say, well, God, you said this is what you wanted for us, and so we're just going to sit here and wait for it to happen. No, the Bible said the soul of the sluggard desires but hath nothing. You can desire victory all that you want to desire, but sitting there and not doing anything is not going to get it. You can desire to walk a victorious life and to have power. Amen. But sitting there waiting for it just to come down upon you is not going to make it happen. And the day of Pentecost was fully come. They were all in one place and one accord. And they were all praying. They were doing something. They were in spiritual warfare. And if I could picture in my mind the spirits of hell holding back something that they didn't even know what they were holding back. It's like Noah preaching about rain coming. They said, what's rain? Spirits of hell knew that there was something coming, but they didn't really know exactly what it is, but they're holding it back. But suddenly there came a wind, there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. And it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it set upon every one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave him the utterance. I can picture in my mind 120 people up there in that upper room in a prayer meeting. And they were praying, not even really understanding what they were praying for. They just knew that they were praying for the promise of the Father. Amen. As Jesus had told them to go and to tarry in Jerusalem and wait until they be endued with power from upon high. And he said that he would send them the promise. And so they're sitting there praying for the promise, and they don't even really know what the promise is. But yet God said, if I stay here and pray, it shall come to pass. And so day one, it didn't happen. Day two, it didn't happen. Day three, it didn't happen. Jesus did not say, go and tarry for 7 days. He just said, go and tarry until it happens. And there they were praying day in and day out. Amen. Praying, seeking God. Amen. But when it was fully come, the Holy Ghost came into that place like a rushing mighty wind. And it filled all the house to the point that when they came out of that upper room, the Bible says, amen, that they were staggering around like drunk men. Because the men of the place looked and said, amen, these men are drunk. But Peter stood up and he said, they're not drunk as ye suppose. Some people come in here and they say, hey, these people are crazy. We're not crazy as you suppose. Amen. Peter said, they're not drunk as you suppose, seeing it's but the third hour of the day. But this is that which was spoken of by the prophet Joel, that in the last days I shall pour out of my spirit upon all flesh. Amen. Amen. I'm skipping down. But then they got pricked in the heart and they said among one another, men and brethren, what must we do? Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourself from this untoward generation. If you're going to be saved, it's because you saved yourself. Grandma didn't save you. Grandpa didn't save you. Mama can't save you. Daddy can't save you. You got to save yourself. I'm moving on quickly. And so we see that in 20 and 21, we still got people, amen, trying to get themselves saved. I remember in 1990, when I was sitting on the second pew over on the far side, born and raised in an apostolic church. I remember, amen, as a young child, amen, getting underneath the pew and hiding there because I was afraid that the ladies, as they were shouting their hair down, were going to step on me. Amen. They were worshipers. They were worshiping, amen, for unsaved husbands, worshiping for unsaved lost loved ones. Amen. They were praying in the Holy Ghost. Seemed like some of them were having some type of conniption fit. Amen. But when you read and you hear about those Indians that went into war, amen, they didn't do it so subtly, but they stood up and they issued out some type of banshee cry, amen, that would strike fear in everybody that they came against. And that's what was happening in that little bitty church. Amen. As people began to worship, as people began to magnify God, amen, they were fighting for the unborn. They were fighting for those that were not saved. Why? Because God said we can have revival. God said we can have it. God said it's yours if you want it. You can have it. Praise God. Praise God. Can I just be myself tonight? Amen. You may want to close your ears or something. But that preacher got to preaching. I'm telling you, he was preaching about the law of leprosy. He was preaching about sin. Oh, Elder James Davis, he was shucking the corn, coming right down the line. Amen. Amen. And he was talking about sin and the power of sin to divide and to conquer, to get in your lives and to destroy your lives. And when sin gets in your life, it gets in your clothes, it gets in your house, it gets in everything that you touch. Amen. Because sin is contagious. You can't just say, well, I'm just going to do just a little bit of sin and be okay. It ain't going to work like that. It ain't going to work like that. I had a good friend that said, well, I'm going to backslide and I'm going to walk out. Amen. But I'm not going to do all that goofy stuff. Amen. I'm not going to cuss. I'm not going to drink. I'm not going to do all those other things. My friend cussing and drinking was the light stuff that he did. Because when it was, before it was said and done, he was a homosexual. Because sin is contagious. You can't play around with sin and get away with sin. You can't just say, well, you know what, I'm just going to do just a little bit of sin, amen, and I'm going to be okay. No, you're not going to be okay. Amen. You give the devil an inch and he'll take a mile. And before long, you'll be sitting off somewhere wondering to yourself, how did I ever get in this particular point in my life? It got here just here a little and there a little. Precept upon precept. Line upon line. Praise God. Amen. That's not what I'm preaching. But Elder James Davis was preaching that. He is preaching, amen, about the law. of leprosy. Amen. He got to talking about how that authority, amen, had to be the one that pronounced you clean. Authority was the one, amen, that would be there, amen, to go over the life and to look into it and to see. Amen. Thank God that our authority is Jesus Christ, that looked down upon us amen, when we had sin in our life. Amen. And he deemed us clean. Even as the lepers turned and looked at Jesus, and they said, Lord, if thou wilt, thou would make us whole. And he said, I will, be thou clean. Amen. And then he told him, he said, go show yourself to the priest. Praise God. I'm just going to stop right there because I'll never finish. Hallelujah, hallelujah. But I remember, amen, as the altar call came. And I remember stepping out of that second pew and walking down to the altar about right here. And I remember as I raised my hands to heaven and as I began to repent of my sins and as I began to fight my way forward to the baptism of the Holy Ghost, I remember the elder and the pastor laying hands on me and I received the baptism of the Holy Ghost that night. You know how I got it? I got it by fighting. But here I am. Amen. Some 31 years later. And you know why I'm here? Because I'm still fighting. I haven't sat down. I haven't gotten tired. I'm not sitting back. Amen. I don't say, well, I fought for 30 years. Now let somebody else do it. Amen. And sit back, because I'm going to lose my salvation if that be the case. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. In Ephesians chapter number 1 and verse number 13, it talks about the gospel of our salvation, in whom also after that ye have believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession. Ephesians 1, amen, 5 and 5. For this you know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ. Amen. Hebrews 9 and 15 speaks of the promise of the eternal inheritance. 1 Peter 1 and 4, to an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. You see, this thing that we call the baptism of the Holy Ghost, it is the earnest of the inheritance. It's the down payment of the inheritance. Amen. It's part of that inheritance that can't be traded away. It's that inheritance that should not be bartered away. Amen. But there are some that are sitting at the enemy's bartering table. Amen. Asking what the devil will give to them. Amen. In exchange for their Holy Ghost. Amen. There are some, amen, that sit at the bartering table of the world. Amen. As the world begins to list their price. Amen. And they got tired of fighting. Amen. That's why the Lord said, be not weary in well doing, for in due season you shall reap if you faint not. You just gotta keep fighting. I said, you gotta keep fighting. Don't lay down. Don't quit. Don't quit. Don't quit. I've come today to tell somebody tonight. Tonight is your night. Don't quit. Don't give up. Today could be the start of something great in your life. Today could be the next chapter in your life. You could get the Holy Ghost, but you cannot quit. Let's stand and magnify the Lord today. Now hang with me for the next few minutes of time. I know I've got you standing, so I'm going to try to go quickly here. I evangelized for 4 years. I was born and raised in Pentecost. I want to say that I have probably seen, now somebody, something's going to prove me wrong, but I have seen just about everything that could possibly be done in Pentecost, and especially at altars. I could spend a long time talking to you about everything that I've seen that has happened at an altar. But let me just give you the highlights of it. I have seen people at an altar that had sweat pouring down, dripping off their chin, their hair totally matted to their head as they were praying and travailing and seeking God. Right. I've seen them crawl on the floor. I've seen them roll on the floor. I've seen them jump. I've seen them dance. I've seen them run and still didn't have the Holy Ghost. But they were fighting for it. They wanted it. They wanted it. Hey man, I've seen them wear out altar worker after altar worker after altar worker. But there they are, still praying, still seeking God. Oh, Brother Hunter Reynolds, that man prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed, and we took him in shifts. Hey man, we'd get down there and we'd pray with him, and he'd pray, and he was so adamant and so determined. And we'd pray with him, and we'd get tired, and we'd turn him over to somebody else. Hey man, and we'd go sit down, and we'd rest, and somebody else would pray with him. Hey man, and that young man prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed. Hey man, one night during revival, I got to praying with Brother Hunter, and he was about a third of the way back, and I'm back there praying with him, and hey man, and all of a sudden he started speaking in tongues. Hey man, and the whole entire church went absolutely bonkers. We shouted all over the place. We rolled in the floor. We tore up Jack, threw out Jill. We did everything. And then Brother Hunter put his hands down, and you know what he said? I didn't get it. I just didn't get it. I don't know what's the problem. Oh God, here we go again. And we started the process all over again. Service after service, service after service. After a while, Brother Hunter finally got a good dose of the Holy Ghost, and he knew that he had it then. But Brother Hunter's still in church today, and he's preaching the gospel. Amen. Somewhere down, I believe it's in Alabama. Amen. He's with amen, Brother Tim, Brother Tim James. He's down there, Brother Tim James. Amen. Being a right hand man. Amen. Witnessing to people and seeing people filled with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. A man whose wife would not come to church with him. And he prayed and he prayed and he prayed. Amen. We left on the evangelistic field, but guess what happened? Amen. Here comes his wife to the house of God, and she gets the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. I've seen them with snot running down their nose, dripping off of their chins, piling up on their shirt pockets. Amen. But they didn't care. They wanted the Holy Ghost. I've seen grown men. We had a man. I was preaching revival in Ala, Louisiana. And we had a man that came down that one service. And he sat right on the front row. Right on the front row. He was a skinhead. He had tattoos all up and down him. He had just gotten out of prison. Amen. A few days before that. And he came to church. And brother, I'm telling you, he sat there on that front row. And he was trying to intimidate somebody. I just didn't figure it out. I got to preaching. My preaching didn't stir him up. It didn't move him or anything. I started giving an altar call. Amen. And as I gave that altar call, amen, I told him, I told anybody that would hear, I said, listen, if you go to hell, you're not going to blame it on me. I'm doing everything that I can to get you, but you're going to wish to God that you had been man enough to get up off of your pew and come humble yourself at an altar and get the Holy Ghost, because hell is not worth it. That man's shoulders sagged. He ducked his head. He walked down to an altar and fell at that altar. I went down and began to pray with him, and I told him, I said, listen, you got a long ways to go, but God's coming down your dusty road. If you'll begin to pray and seek God, I want you to repent of your sins. And when I come back, God's going to fill you with the Holy Ghost. I went and prayed for somebody else. I came back, and amen, I got to praying with Josh. Amen. And while I was sitting there praying for him, I told him, I said, Josh, if you've repented of all of your sins, amen, and you're clean of everything, I want you to raise your hands, and God will fill you with the Holy Ghost. Amen. That big man with tattoos all over him, skinhead, amen, he looked up at me. He stood up, and those shoulders came up, and his hands came up, and his head came up, and he lifted his head, and I began to pray for him, and God filled him with the Holy Ghost. Don't tell me that you've done too much. Don't tell me that you've went too far. There is a parcel of ground that's called the a boundary of blood, and it's still worth fighting for, and it'll cleanse you of every sin that you have committed. You just gotta fight for it. If you want the Holy Ghost, you can have it tonight. If you need a renewing, you can have it tonight. If you need a touch, you can have it tonight. Tonight is your night. But you gotta stand. You gotta stand. You gotta stand against the wiles of the devil. You gotta say, enough is enough. I'm getting my life straightened out right now. Tonight is the night.